Market View on Money FM 89.3.
The recent coronavirus outbreak or epidemic, no matter how you call it, has really rattled global markets, and many markets across the world entered into correction territory just last week. And though we're seeing signs of easing across many markets, one market that had a spectacular fall from all-time highs into correction happened to be the ASX 200 in Australia. Today on Market View, we are joined by Mr. Shane Oliver, Chief Economist for AMP Capital, to help us make sense of this and also to set things up for what's proving to be a rather big macro week for the Australian economy as well. Mr. Oliver, thank you so much for joining us. Good afternoon to you out there in Sydney.
It's been my pleasure. Thanks for having me on the program.
As we know, we've seen markets sort of steady themselves on the promise of possible monetary easing from major central banks across the world. But could you help us make sense of that recent market meltdown where we saw markets go from all-time highs like the ASX 200 above 7,000 all the way down into correction territory? Could you help us make sense of that? And do you think that the worst might be behind us, in your opinion?
I'd like to think the worst is behind us, but I think it's probably a bit premature to say that. But basically what happened was at the end of January, start of February, there was weakness in share markets right around the world. US shares, even Australian share market down 3%. The Chinese share market fell 12%. Then we saw a bit of a rally, and I think that was on back of signs that the number of new cases in China was coming under control. And at the same time, we were seeing policy stimulus in China and expectations that if need be, there'd be policy stimulus in other countries. So that enabled share markets to go to record highs, you know, helped by reasonable profit numbers in the US and also in Australia. We saw reasonable profit figures for the December half that were released through February. So we get to all-time highs. That was a little less than 2 weeks ago. Then suddenly, over the weekend, a couple of weeks back, we heard increasing news that the virus was spreading dramatically in places like Italy, Japan to some degree, South Korea, Iran. And that, I guess, got investors very nervous because there was this feeling that, well, it's not panning out how we'd assumed. We thought it would be contained in China and a number of cases in the rest of the world would be mild. But, of course, that hasn't turned out to be the case. And so consequently, the fear has increased that the slowdown in global economic activity won't just occur in China and the flow on from that, but it will be more broad-based because we're hearing these stories of shutdowns to public events in Italy and France and elsewhere. And, of course, we've seen more cases appearing in the US and even in Australia. So that has led to concerns about a more broad-based economic hit to the global economy, to the Australian economy, beyond just the March quarter. And consequently, share markets over last week had sharp falls.
Speaking of that, actually, some of the more optimistic people in the markets continue to say that this is just a knee-jerk reaction, the correction we've seen in some of these major markets. But do you think that this time around, because we've seen it really be so pesky, this COVID-19 virus, whenever we see a spike in cases, suddenly a sell-off happens, do you think that this could actually be the start of an actual structural correction or even sightings of bear markets down the road should it start to persist, Shane?
That's certainly a risk. I think it's quite possibly an overreaction. We just don't know, do we? And it all comes back to how the coronavirus unfolds as it goes around the world. If in the next month or so it's contained, as it has been in China, then people will eventually go back to work, as occurred after the SARS outbreak of 2003, and share markets will rebound, and we'll look back on it almost as if it was a bit of a blip. But if alternatively it takes a lot longer to contain, and in the meantime the process of containing it does involve an extended hit to economic activity beyond, say, just the March quarter, then it's a different story. Share markets, you can look through a short-term blip, but they find it hard to look through something which extends for a longer period, you know, up to 6 months. And that is why you've seen this share market reaction. And there is that risk. You know, we've seen markets come down 10, 12% or so from the highs to the lows recently. And that includes the Chinese share market, or the low in Chinese share market was earlier in February. that could well be it. But, you know, if we do go into a global recession on the back of this, then there may well be more downside in markets. So at this point in time, it's a hard one to predict. I don't think anyone knows. I know a lot of people pretend to know, to be suddenly experts on epidemics. but, yeah, we've seen these things before go around the world, and, yeah, they create a lot of fear. And it sort of blows over. And then, of course, there's other occasions where that's not the case. You know, for example, in 1918 with Spanish influenza, which ultimately killed 50 million people. So there are a lot of unknowns around this. And I think that's something that financial markets are trying to grapple with. For investors, it's incredibly hard because investors normally focus on just economic things. When you throw this in, it makes it hard to make sense of it, which I think adds to the difficulty in trying to time markets at present. Selling now and hope that you'll get back in at the right time is going to be very difficult here, because as we've seen in the last few days, markets can spin on a dime, and before you know it, they could be up another 5-10%, and you end up getting back into the market at a higher level than the level at which you sold.
It's very eerie that you mentioned the Spanish influenza there, because, Shane, that was roughly almost exactly 100 years ago when that epidemic actually broke out, or that pandemic broke out. By the way, we're still speaking to Shane Oliver, the chief economist at AMP Capital. Mr. Oliver, I do want to talk about what those PMI numbers for China the other day actually mean for the Australian economy. We know that the next GDP release for Australia is coming up, but that's really to round up 2019. Looking forward, though, has the game changed given how drastically bad those numbers are, especially given also how sensitive and how closely linked the Australian economy is now to the Middle Kingdom?
That's right. The game has changed. A lot is now riding on how China recovers from this and when it recovers. I was pretty confident that Australia would avoid a recession prior to the news of coronavirus. That confidence is now being tested, because the Australian economy was already pretty weak prior to the bushfires intensifying, and now most importantly the coronavirus outbreak. It's quite possible that December quarter GDP numbers will show very weak growth, and this is before we go backwards in the March quarter. So that sort of puts a bit of a cloud over things. And then, of course, if we do go backwards in the March quarter, which appears likely on the back of the bushfires and coronavirus impacts, simply because Chinese tourists aren't coming anymore because of the travel bans, and there's less demand for our exports of iron ore and coal and so on, if the economy goes backwards, then that's one negative quarter. And then if we then go backwards in the June quarter, then we could have slid into recession. So that risk is there. It's not my base case, but it's certainly a risk. And that's something that policymakers have to allow for in Australia. And indeed, the share market has to allow for that increased risk of a short-term recession on the back of coronavirus.
Shane, before we let you go, we know that the RBA, everybody is expecting the Reserve Bank of Australia to cut rates. It seems that many are arguing that they have no other choice but to provide some of the support at the moment. But some say that there's very little left in the keg for Australia. Do you think they'll be forced to actually go to negative rates if this rate cut proves not to be enough? And will they be forced to do that to avoid a possible recession, and maybe the first recession Australia's seen in, 30 years or so? What are your thoughts? Do you think Australia might get the negative rates first, or a possible recession?
Well, the risk of recession has certainly gone up. The last one ended in 1991, so that's over 28 years ago. I mean, there's all sorts of debates about whether the Reserve Bank cutting interest rates will provide any help. Some people say it's a supply side shock, and what will cutting interest rates do to stop a virus anyway? Counter argument, of course, is that they're cutting interest rates to help shore up the economy, particularly those who may be vulnerable through this tougher time, and also to help reinvigorate the eventual recovery when it comes, which is the same logic that China is employing right now. So in that sense, I think it makes sense to cut interest rates. Will they go negative? I don't think so. The Reserve Bank Governor, Philip Lowe, has said on several occasions, most notably in November and more recently last month, said that 0.25% would be the low point if they had to keep cutting interest rates in Australia. After that, it would all fall back on quantitative easing, which involves basically using printed money to buy up government bonds and other assets to pump cash into the economy. So I don't see interest rates going negative in Australia. I do see them falling as low as 0.25 in the period ahead, but not going negative. The Reserve Bank has looked at it and concluded that going negative probably doesn't help anyone. And the experience in other countries like Japan and Europe has been a bit mixed, so I don't think they do that, but they could do QE. That's probably where we're heading next.
And fingers crossed that Australia can keep its recession-free streak going longer as we deal with all of this uncertainty that's hitting economies and markets. Shane Oliver, Chief Economist at AMP Capital, thank you so much for joining us today on Market View. Good afternoon to you there, sir.
It's been my pleasure, and my fingers are certainly crossed.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.
Thank you for your time, sir.